Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Morning.
It is good to be here this morning with you at Palmer Memorial to celebrate the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, and later in the second service, confirmation, reaffirmation, and reception. This is my second year here in Texas, in the Diocese of Texas, and every day brings me a new perspective, a new experience. Yesterday, I was participating in a conference. I am a new member of a group called American Leadership Forum. And in my conversation with this group, around 30 people gathered, at least five of them said, my kids were baptized at Palmer Memorial. Yeah, interesting for me. People around Texas gather together in a different place. When I identify myself as a member of the Episcopal Church, they immediately recognize us and as part of their history and spiritual life. I think that is great because that means we are visible and we are doing ministry work and we are sharing good news around the Houston area and further. One of my responsibilities is to visit parishes and missions of these dioceses. Every Sunday, I visit different churches, and in each one, I can observe and learn about their life and ministry. All our churches contribute something different and important to our form of worship and celebration. Some celebrate in a different languages now: English, Spanish. Some are bilingual. I think that is the most difficult experience for me, to go through two languages, English and Spanish. It's a little complicated, but it's amazing how some of our clergy can do and can lead the worship in that way. And every Sunday in the churches of our dioceses, we gather people from at least 32 nationalities. This is very interesting for the life of the church, as the body of Christ is characterized by great diversity. Last Saturday, I participated in a confirmation celebration in one of the churches here in Houston that include people from five different nationalities. I confirmed people from the United States, China, Russia, Iran, and Mexico. It's amazing how our ministry and testimony can call more people to the church. That church here in Houston, they started a program, English as a Second Language, like 2 years ago, with 20 people attendance, and now they have 175. And through that English language teaching and experience, the people attending this program not just are learning a different language, but through that new language, they start to be connected with Jesus. And now, last Sunday, I confirmed some of them. Yeah, it's amazing how our ministries can turn the lives and transform the lives for many people. As followers of Jesus, we all look for the same thing. We thank God for all his blessings. We celebrate our joys. We ask forgiveness for our sins, and we feel strengthened by forgiveness and reconciliation. This is possible since the Lord knows us and loves us as we are. I think this is the most important value the church has ever received: the powerful love of God that forgives, transforms, and reconciles all. Another important element in the life of our churches and congregations is that many of them are looking for ways to establish a clear but simple vision that is appealing to all its members and to new members of the church. in this process to build the new vision, an important question the churches should be asked to establish that vision. And I think the question is this: what are we offering to the community in which we are located or where we serve that the world cannot give them? What are we offering to the community where we are located or where we serve that the world cannot give them? This morning in the Gospel of St. John, Jesus gives us a key to answering this question. After his resurrection and before his ascension, Jesus remains at time with his disciples, eating, sharing, and teaching a new way of understanding his calling and ministry. They have not been called to revenge or hatred. Jesus gives them a different choice. He gives them the ability to create their own identity. The most important value for which the world will recognize them and the church. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another. Jesus always has something important to say to us, but he does not just say something. Rather, he challenges us to act in a different way. He invites us to think and act with values other than the world teaches us. The right perspective is not revenge or hate. It is forgiveness that brings us to reconciliation. Both forgiveness and reconciliation are possible when we trust in God's powerful love. In my past, in my time doing a different kind of mission, working in the church as a missionary, I was assigned in my first job in the Episcopal Church to plant a new church. The bishop asked me to resign my job as mechanical engineer, and he sent me a place where no Episcopalians to plant a new church. It was a hard time for me because I had no idea what to do it. We don't receive any training to plant churches at my time in the seminary. And was it difficult? No Episcopalians. The bishop gave me a budget to rent a house and with enough space to live there at the same time to worship. And in the beginning was easy because it was my house only, yeah, and no members. But later I start to think differently. But I try different ways to invite people to be part of the church, and nothing worked well. And I changed the strategy, and my strategy changed in the way that I start to walk through the neighborhoods to know people. And I realized in the neighborhood, a lot of children with no activities in the afternoon and in some risk, they had no place to be during the afternoon when their parents worked. And I decided to invite them to participate in a new game for them, not for me. And I invited them to learn how to play chess. And they had never played chess. It took me a few weeks to teach them the game. But after 6 months, we had 18 tables and 36 children playing. Very nice. This was the beginning of the congregation in some point, in some way, because the children started to invite their parents and their families, and they joined the recently community. After each session with the kids, we had a short Bible study. And in one of these studies, we reflected about forgiveness and reconciliation and love. One of the kids gave me a very interesting lesson about his understanding of this biblical call to reconciliation and the game of chess. The boy told me, "I love this game because it's about create a lot of good strategies to kill the king," he said. I thought they didn't understand Jesus' message well, but that wasn't his teaching. The boy then said, "But what I like the most about the game is that at the end of the game, it is necessary to count all pieces, one by one. Pawns, knights, rooks, bishops, the queen, and the king. It's necessary to count all of them. 16 black, 16 white. We put all together in the same box, and they stay together until the next game." That is the teaching, yeah? It's necessary to count all of them. The beginning fighting, trying to kill the most important piece, but in the end of the game, together until the next game. I don't know where he heard this of, or if it was his inspiration. I would like to think that it was from my teachings. However, this was a brilliant description of what reconciliation means. Jesus gave a clear message to his disciples. The only way people can recognize that you are my disciples is to love each other. The only way to love God is to love our neighbor as we do ourselves. This is our identity. It is the main value that God has given us and the most important tool to transform any kind of injustice, violence, and mistreatment. The church is called to proclaim it by word and testimony that the love of God is an endless source of forgiveness and is the most valuable treasure we can offer. Love is the way to reconciliation and is the only route to peace. Our sanctuaries must be places free of hate and discrimination. If the community where we are located can clearly identify this in our church, then we are offering something that the world cannot offer them. Desmond Tutu, Anglican Archbishop and Nobel Peace Prize winner, declared that hate has no place in the house of God. No one should be excluded from our love, our compassion, or our concern for their race or gender, their faith, or their ethnic origin, or their sexual orientation. Here is the question again. What are we offering to the community in which we are located or where we serve that the world cannot give them? How is this community of Palmer living out Jesus' mission of love, forgiveness, and reconciliation? Amen. I